Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.
No elbow extension on the follow-through. He's got a jumper trash.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and as always you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble. Just a quick reminder that Basketball Monster memberships are open for everybody to go in and check those out. And as of today, the DFS portion of our site, the DFS memberships are open as well. So people have been asking me, are you going to be doing DFS this year? Yes, of course we are. And those memberships are now open as well. So you can go and sign up for the DFS portion of the membership. When you go in, if you want to put in a referral code, the referral code is Josh, and that tells you that I'm the one that referred you there. It's not a discount code. It just tells it helps us work out where people are coming from when they sign up to be members. But the DFS option is now available on Basketball Monster. If you also do want to support me individually on this podcast, head to patreon.com/redrock_Beeble. As I said yesterday, what we're doing on today's podcast is the second half of the injury roundup, looking at the Western Conference teams. So
let's get to it.
The plan for the rest of this week, I'm going to be doing an over-under podcast with Greg Ehrenberg tomorrow. And then at the start of next week, Kyle McEwen's going to be coming on and we're going to be rounding up whatever preseason action we've seen go down. And I didn't want to do too much preseason stuff based on one or two games if we can get a bit of a vibe. Because teams are changing starters. We've seen the Bulls today. They're going to be inserting Chris Dunn and Nikola Mirotic into the starting lineup, pushing Jaren Grant and Bob Portis to the bench, which is what they should do. The Knicks are going to rotate guys. They started Cock in the last game at center. They'll put Enes Kanter in there. Frankie Ntilikina will start at some point. You'll have Mick Beasley or Lance Thomas starting on the wing over Doug McDirt. So there's going to be changes in many of these things. So if we get a couple of games under our belt, we can understand a little bit more how these rotations are going to play out. So me and Kyle will discuss that next week. As I said, what we're doing in this show is just going through some of the injury situations in the Western Conference. Not as many serious injury concerns in the West as what there is in the East, which I recommend you go and check out yesterday's podcast for some information on that. We'll start with the Dallas Mavericks. Pretty healthy. Dirk missed quite a few games last year with an Achilles problem. That doesn't look like it's going to be the case this year. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, no, Dirk's going to sit out all these games. He's going to play limited minutes. I don't think that's the case. I think that Dirk will sit some games. I think he's not going to play. He's going to play more than the 54 that he played last year, but he's also not going to play 60 games if he's not hurt. And I also think that he plays more minutes than he played last year. He played 26 minutes a game last year, but so much of that was him coming back from the Achilles injury. So I actually think that he can get to 26, 27, as opposed to some people who think he's going to really drop down to 22, 23. I just don't think that's the way that Carlisle is going to run things with Dallas. I think he's okay there. Nerlens Noel appears healthy. Dennis Smith, Seth Curry, none of these guys are battling any injury problems. The two issues that Dallas have is Joshy McRoberts, which is just a consistent issue with him. He's not going to be a part of the rotation anyway, so there's nothing to really for us to care about too much there. The other one is Dorian Finney-Smith, who's dealing with a minor knee complaint. Now, I guess he was marginally in the mix for the starter's job, given the fact that the pencil is going to be at the 4 and Nerlens is going to be at the 5. They could have gone with Finney-Smith at the 3 and Big Wes Matthews at the 2. That's not going to be the case. Seth is going to start. Wes is going to start at the 3. And Finney-Smith is as big a zero as a fantasy option as you can find pretty much for a guy who gets minutes. He's a guy that if he gets 20 minutes a night, he maybe cracks the top 300. Maybe. So it's not really going to have too much of an impact for us. He's not going to start. He's not going to be siphoning minutes off players that we can actually use the value from. So it's not too much of a concern. The Denver Nuggets have played a couple of preseason games already. We've seen they're going to be fun, man. They're going to be so fun to watch. Jokic, we know how good he is.
Pretty good. It's pretty, pretty, pretty,
pretty good.
But he won't be playing in Wednesday's game. Neither will Nice
Gary.
I almost called him Nice Gary instead of Gary Harris. Gaz won't be playing in Wednesday's game either. He's dealing with a shoulder strain. Jokic is dealing with an elbow issue. These are not serious problems. These are not anything for us to be concerned about with drafting them. Getting a lot of questions about Harris. His ADP is completely misleading. You're not going to be able to pick him at pick 100. I think he's a top 50 player this year. I would be looking at him in the 60 to 70 range. I think that's a fair enough range. I wouldn't be grabbing him in the 40s because, again, it's just taking away any upside there. 60s or 70s is a great spot for him. Jokic, to me, is the 9th or 10th player that you grab. I probably do lean LeBron over Jokic in a lot of situations, but it does depend on your league, and taking Jokic at 9 is fine. Paulie Millsap's been pretty good for them so far as well. He's also sitting out Wednesday, but that's due to rest. Golden State Warriors. There is literally no injury concerns for them at this point. Not only do they have the greatest team of all time, that they then increased their bench depth, but they're not dealing with any sort of injury problems at this point. So everything is good to go for the Golden State Warriors. I'll say this again, and I'll probably talk about it on the preseason pod with Kyle. Jordan Bell, man, he is going to be good. Now, it's going to be hard for him to get minutes this year. Zaza Pachulia, David West, and JaVale McGee are the three centers there. West and Pachulia, they're not going to be around forever. McGee, he's much older than you think. Bell is a perfect center to play alongside Draymond Green, in my opinion. Even if he's not on the Warriors, I think his dynasty value is significant. High blocks, high steals, high rebounds, good field goal percentage, can get some assists. The scoring's going to be a problem, but if he was a top 50 player at some point in his career, definitely wouldn't be shocked, and I really liked what I've seen from him in that Warriors opening night or opening preseason game. The Houston Rockets, they made their preseason debut. There's a few injuries there. PJ Tucker, he's been having some hamstring issues. There's no issue with him in terms of playing because he's back and he played in the game, so he's all right. Tariq Black was out with a knee problem. We're talking about him as a third string center because they'll go with Ryan Anderson at center some of the time. They played PJ Tucker at center actually in yesterday's game, so Tariq's not going to have too much of an impact. Cam Oliver, who is a guy who's probably going to get cut. He's dealing with a broken hand. He's got 4 to 6 weeks. So in you really, really deep leagues. Now, I think people can correct me if I'm wrong here. I think Cam Oliver is from Nevada, an undrafted rookie. I'm surprised he didn't get drafted, but he's probably not going to make the final roster anyway. And for the Rockets' next preseason game, Ryan Anderson is going to be out with a hip problem, but that is not a large concern. The bigger concern for Anderson is that he's not good, and he doesn't deserve to be drafted in 10-team leagues, nor does he deserve to be drafted in 12-team leagues. Fantastic streaming option, absolutely fantastic streamer. He can come in, he can hit threes, and you can get two and a half threes out of him really comfortably, which is great. But I think his minutes are going to be in trouble this year as Clint Capella gets more playing time, as PJ Tucker and Luke Richard-Mahmoud. I completely stuffed that up because I shouldn't have put the Richard in there. Luke Marmute comes in and plays some of those minutes as well. So Anderson's minutes will go down. We know that, yeah, he struggles to even combine for one rebound, assist, and steal per game, or not to mention block. So there is that issue there with him. He's a streamer, and that is it for the Houston Rockets. But one good thing out of preseason, Jim Harden, 10 assists in the first game. Chrissy Paul, 7 assists. I'm really confident about Harden being at least a top 3 player this year. I've got him projected at number 1. But you know, him, if you took him or Russ or Yanni or Durant or Towns at 1, I have absolutely no problem. They are all, and people go, Josh, I've got the number 1 overall pick. I've got number 2. Who do I take? In the end, it doesn't matter. Like, it really, really makes very little difference. You might want to bump Towns down because he plays few games in the head-to-head playoffs. That might be a reason. You might be worried about what happens with Russ and his knee or playing alongside Paul George and Melo. Maybe that's a concern. But out of all those 5 guys, I'm not bothered by any of them going number 1 overall. You could take any of them, and I don't think it's going to have a massive, massive impact in fantasy for this season. Now, one thing I do want to mention is, and this is completely unrelated to Western Conference injury updates, I'm in a, you've probably heard it mentioned in other shows or written other places, the Industry 30 Deep League. It's been going for quite a long time. I'm in it this season for the first year, and we're currently in the middle of the draft. So it's tough. It's 30 guys. We're talking about Roto World guys, talking about Aaron Brewski's in there from Hoopball, a few Hoopball guys, Rick Kamler from NBA TV. There's a number of high-profile people in this that's been running for years and years and years. I want to tell you, I had pick 22. Wasn't a great start to the draft to get pick 22, but through 5 picks, I'm pretty happy with how my team looks. I'm just going to go through who I've got in this draft so far. Jim Butler I got in the first round. Nikola Vucevic in round two. I went to Jeremy Lin in round three, Willie Cauley-Stein in round four, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in round five, which was at selection 140. So I'm pretty happy with how my 30 deep team is looking so far, but I'll keep you updated on how that's going. I just thought I'd mention that as we're going through this. Let's go back to talking about injuries in the Western Conference. The Clippers, man, the Clippers are going to be so fun. There's so much to talk about with the Clippers, and I can't wait to get into this with Kyle next week. Milos Teodosic, he's not going to score huge amounts from what we've seen so far, but he's going to rack up the assists, and we know that that can be super valuable at the end of draft. So he looks good. Austin Rivers sat out Tuesday's game, and Teodosic started next to Beverly. That's the starting backcourt that I want the Clippers to go with. I think that having that combination is better than having Teodosic and Williams together as the backup duo. But Rivers did stagger those guys, which was a surprise. I think out of those four guards, Beverly, Rivers, Teodosic, and Williams, Rivers is the worst of those four, but he'll probably end up getting the most minutes or equal with Pat Bev. But I love seeing Teodosic and Beverly together. He's going to get those assists, Milos, and it's going to be valuable in fantasy, but you're going to have to be aware that the points are going to be low. He's getting steals, he's getting assists, but he looks good. Rivers, I don't think there's too much concern about his glute. Two things that are really important to note about the Clippers, is that Blake Griffin is back. We heard reports, he's not going to be ready until December. Clearly bullshit. He's back and he looks really good. The Rooster Danilo Gallinari broke his hand in Eurobasket preparation. He is back and he is sporting a sick tan. That is clearly the number one tan in the NBA at the moment. He is golden. He is crispy. He looks really, really, really sexy. And Sam Decker, following suit, almost got the Rooster tan going. He's right there, but Danilo Gallinari is, if he's not walking around, shirt off, aviator sunglasses on, probably a cigarette behind the ear Italian style, like he just looks absolutely scrumptious with that tan. Have a look. It is crazy. Because you know what we're going to see? Like, if you go back and get screen grabs of these games that they're playing in Hawaii, and then go and watch a game in January of the Clippers, watch how much the tan's faded. He is sporting, probably the number one tan in the NBA at the moment. Anyway, so him and Griffin are back in action. They look good. As for Decker, he did hurt his rib in Tuesday's game, was unable to return. We saw him playing more in that second game as opposed to the first game where Wes Johnson got most of that playing time. Johnson's going to be part of the rotation this season. I don't think there's any doubt in that. Decker is an interesting deep league guy, especially when Gallinari and Griffin get hurt. Decker's going to provide a little bit of value, but for now he's more of a deeper league sort of player. The Los Angeles Lakers, Brook Lopez is back in practice as a full participant. He probably won't play in the next preseason game, but he is fine. They're just being cautious with him, so that's good news there. And, of course, everybody's boyfriend, Kyle Kuzma, has been playing well. But as I mentioned, what happens when Lopez is back? Because Randle and Nance won't be able to play those minutes at center. Now, there is a legitimate argument that you can make that, and I've made this argument before, I think Nance is a better player than Randle. You can also make the argument that Kuzma could be better than Randle. You could make the argument that Kuzma is better than Nance. It is a messy three-player mix there at power forward for this team that is going to limit, I think, Randle's breakout potential. It's going to limit what Nance can do, who's been a really good defensive stack guy in limited minutes, and it's going to limit what Kuzma can do. None of these guys are playing 32 minutes, quite clearly. It'll be a struggle for Kuzma to get 20 minutes a game. It's going to be a struggle, I think, for Nance to get more than 21, 22. And I think Randle might struggle to get more than 28 minutes with the quality of these players here. And Randle, I don't believe in him. I don't think he's a very good player. I am clearly in the minority there. But I think he gets traded this season. I think, or they just make the move and say, well, you're just not part of our future. Let's get one of these other guys in there. So that's going to be a situation to monitor. Now, bringing all this up because Nance did hurt his finger in the Lakers last game. He was fine. Not going to be a long-term concern, but it is something to watch. They also had Lonzo Ball hurt his ankle. He was able to return to the court, but then he sat out practice, and Brandon Ingram had a head issue as well that caused him to miss practice. These aren't long-term concerns. The long-term concern I have with both, especially Ingram, is maybe he's just not that good. That's a real concern. Like, he was legitimately the worst player in the NBA, I'd say, for months last season. Turned it on the second half of the last 2 months of last season. But this year, really good first game in Summer League. Pretty good in the first preseason game. Not so good in the second one. Maybe he just can't shoot. Maybe this is the problem with him. I've got no problem taking him, selecting him at pick 100, pick 110, that sort of zone. But yeah, you're going for upside, but yeah, I don't have full confidence in what he's going to be able to do. So there is some level of concern there. Josh Hart is the other injury that the Lakers are dealing with. He's got some ankle problems, but he's not going to be an every night rotation player, especially with the way that Tyler Ennis has been playing and Jordan Clarkson obviously in that backcourt rotation mix. The Memphis Grizzlies, Tyreke Evans missed their last game due to a migraine. He's not going to play today against the Sixers. I don't think we've got anything to worry about there with him. And Marc Gasol missed the first preseason game. He's going to miss the second one also, but he will be back on Monday, so everything is ready to go for him. Chandler Parsons, good news, he played. He played 18 minutes. He looked a little bit rusty, a little bit slow, but the fact that he was out there playing 18 minutes in the preseason opener should give you more confidence to select him with your last pick. Pick 140, pick 150. To see what he can do. Now, he probably can't reach the heights of top 50, although I wouldn't be surprised if in a February to April stretch he's a top 50 player. But I think getting him at 100, 150, he could be a top 100 player this season. It all depends on how he, you know, how many minutes he plays and how he looks in those minutes, because he got some minutes last year and looked dreadful. But the fact that he's on the court, he's playing, it's a really positive sign for Chandler Parsons at the moment. Mario Chalmers also returned from his Achilles injury. David Fizdale was really happy with that, really liked what he saw. But with Conley out on Wednesday, the Grizzlies are actually going with Wade Baldwin as the starting point guard. Now, I was impressed with what Baldwin did in that first preseason game. He was dreadful last season, but he was a player I was really, really high on heading into the NBA draft. I wanted the Bulls to take him at pick 14 to be our new point guard of the future. That wasn't the case, and he was putrid for the Grizzlies last season, but I'm going to be really interested to see how he does matching up against the Sixers in today's game, which will be after I record this podcast. So I'll be really interested to see how all that goes down with Wade Baldwin there. It's pushing Chalmers. Like, what is he? Is he the backup point guard? Is he the third string point guard? Where's Andrew Harrison? How does that all work out? But the good news is that Chalmers, even on that light guarantee, Fizdale seems to think he'll make the final roster. I do too. But I don't think his role is going to be large enough to have any sort of impact outside of very deep leagues. Ivan Rabb is dealing with an ankle problem that kept him out of summer league as well. And then you've got Benny McLemore, who's got that broken foot that's going to keep him out till mid-November. McLemore will be on standard league rosters at some point this season. Not worth drafting, I don't think, and stashing in IR. His upside's not that high. But at some point, I think he will have that opportunity. Wayne Selden's got a huge opportunity to stamp his claim on that starting job, and Tyreek also as well. But McLemore is going to be a name to watch. In Minnesota, Nemanja Bjelica was dealing with a broken foot, wasn't sure he was going to be ready to start the season, but he played in the first preseason game, so he's all ready to go as that backup four, played a little bit of three as well, but really just a deeper league sort of guy, obviously with Taj and Gorgui Dieng being those power forwards on the Wolves, and Justin Patton, at some point in November, we expect him to resume his activity or be able to play with that broken foot, but he is just not going to get minutes. We're going to have Dieng, Gibson, Towns as the front court rotation. Maybe Patton plays one or two minutes here and there. Cole Aldrich is also around. I just don't see much happening for Justin Patton this season.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.
The New Orleans Pelicans, Solomon Hill has a torn hamstring. He'll be out till February, March. We know that. Dante Cunningham is going to be the starting small forward. I was really impressed at times with Darius Miller in their opening preseason. And by the way, if you score 47 points in the first quarter against the Chicago Bulls, New Orleans Pelicans, and the Chicago Bulls are shit, and you score 47 points, and you play your big-name players all 30-plus minutes, and then you lose to the Chicago Bulls by playing Davis and Cousins over 30 minutes a game and scoring 47 points in a quarter, you are shithouse. You are in trouble. Let's see how that goes. Both Boogie and Davis put up 20 and 10 games, I believe. And big minutes looked good, but man, there's a lot of shit on that roster. Yeah, so Cunningham's going to start. He's not worth a standard league grab. Miller, probably not either. Etuan Moore, I think he's more a 14-team league guy, the best out of that group of players. We saw a little bit out of Jordy Crawford, a little bit out of Ian Clark as well. Frank Jackson has a fractured foot. He'll be out until some point in January. Not going to see much of him. or Omer Asik. I don't think that, I think there's a real risk that Omer Asik never plays in the NBA again. He's dealing with Crohn's and ankylosing spondylitis, which are really severe debilitating diseases. Larry Nance obviously plays with Crohn's. Many people can't. It depends how the severity and how long it takes you to get it under control. And ankylosing spondylitis is just it's a bad deal that they can't find cures for. Treatment is tough. So Asik's in a really bad spot, and don't expect him to play too much this season. What that did mean is we saw Cheick Diallo be the first big man off the bench, and I thought he looked really, really good. You know, I'm high on Diallo. And if Boogie leaves in free agency and Diallo starts next to Davis, which would be the best move that the Pelicans can make if they can't retain Boogie, he's a standard league guy in that case. And we don't know that's the case, but if you're talking dynasty league values, Diallo, much like a guy like Ivica Zubac, who I think is going to have significant value next season, Diallo's that guy that he plays 28 minutes a night next to Davis. Yeah, top 100 definitely beckons for him. So keep an eye out there, even though his performances this season will be lower. The Oklahoma City Thunder, we saw them debut. Russ was out after having his platelet-rich injection into his knee. Pat Patterson was also out with a knee injury, and Alex Abrines was also out with a knee problem. Abrines hurt his knee in Eurobasket. It doesn't appear too severe. Patterson had some surgery in September. He was always going to be in danger of missing training camp. All three of these guys will be ready to start the regular season. The only one you have a little bit of doubt on is Patterson. Both Patterson and Abrines are obviously deep league guys, and Westbrook's a guy that you take in the top few picks, and I've got no problem with taking him at number one if that's what you wanted to do. I'm not that bothered by the knee injury at this point. Things could change, but I'm not overly worried by it at this point. The Phoenix Suns, Tyler Ulis was battling an ankle problem. He was fine. He played in the opening preseason game. He's got a chance to have some significant end-of-season value, and also I think he could play even 20 minutes a game to start the year, so deeper leagues want to pay attention. But remember, when he was putting up those numbers last year, he was playing 40 minutes a game, and he still struggled to crack the top 100 because he was putting up such huge volume of shots and not hitting them. He was getting lots of assists, and that can be really valuable, but if you are looking at him in a standard league, it's because you hope at some point that Bledsoe gets traded or rested, and I think the odds of Bledsoe resting this season are much, much lower than what we've seen before. But if he goes down or he gets traded and Ulis is in there, he's going to have value. But remember, in the minutes he put up last year, he wasn't a very good fantasy player. He put up some okay numbers, but really killed you efficiency-wise. They've got two players with meniscus injuries, Devon Reed and Alan Williams. Big Sauce is going to miss most of the season. That's going to open up minutes for Alex Len, who put up some pretty interesting numbers. There's Tyson Chandler there. There's Dragan Bender, who's been playing some center minutes also for the Suns. Len is a guy that I would watch for standard leagues. I wouldn't want anything to do with Tyson Chandler nor Dragan Bender at this point, but we're still in a situation where we don't know how that's going to go. But Williams, there's no need to draft him and stash him or anything like that in 12s or 14 team leagues. As for Devon Reed, he wasn't going to be too much of an impact guy, but that does open up that opportunity for Troy Daniels, who's got no problem taking threes and is going to be a very good three-point streamer, and it opens up more minutes for Tyler Ulis as well. The Portland Trailblazers, Noah Vonleh is going to miss the first 2 weeks of the regular season with a shoulder strain. He would have been probably a 16, 14 team league guy as a real rebounding strength player. At this point, I don't think, and given the fact that starting power forward position is still open in terms of competition, he's going to miss the start of the season. Drafting Vonleh is probably, it's a low upside play that's not going to have much value. Ed Davis started the first game. Caleb Swanigan put up some good numbers as well. There's Zach Collins, there's Al-Farouq Aminu in the mix there. I don't think they're going to give the starting job to Aminu. I think that when Vonleh is out, it's going to be Swanigan, or it's going to be Davis in that role. Let's just talk about Myers Leonard. He looks jacked. He has got the biggest arms and shoulders I've ever seen for a skinny white guy. He looks like a monster. Pity he doesn't play like a monster, but he looks like an absolute monster, Myers Leonard. And I think he's going to be in for a bit of a bounce back season this year. Not someone who's going to be cracking the top 100 or anything, but for deeper leagues, I'm really interested to see what Myers can bring. CJ Wilcox also dealing with a knee problem. He's a two-way guy. While Shabazz Napier, he missed the first preseason game for the Blazers, but he was ready to go and back practicing on Wednesday. And I think he could have an increased role this season just with the absence of Alan Crabb. That means that CJ McCollum is going to have to play a little bit more at the two, meaning we're going to have to see a little bit more of Shabazz playing there at point guard. So deeper league guys who want to play can get 3.5 assists. Maybe Shabazz can be your guy. The Sacramento Kings, despite Dave Yeager's insistence on being a knob end. They're fine with injuries. Harry Giles is the only guy who's still dealing with that knee problem. We are just not going to see Giles at all really this season. He's going to play sparingly in Reno, and we're not going to see him in the NBA. So there's no value there, but everyone else is healthy. The only health issue we've got is the mental health of Jaeger and that geriatric starting lineup. For San Antonio, Tone Parker looks like he'll be back at some point in December from his quad injury. Not a draftable player and not someone I'd be adding even when he returns. Rudy Gay, they're going cautiously with him on his Achilles. I expect him to be ready for opening night. I also don't expect him to be anywhere near a top 50 player and probably not a top 100 guy. Achilles injuries, they're impossible to return from at 100%, and it almost always has a significant dip in the efficiency of the player, and that's going to really impact Gay, not to mention the fact that he'll be playing behind Aldridge and Kawhi. Now, maybe they play Aldridge at center more and go Leonard Gay, Aldridge's 3-4-5s, but I'm not sure how much that happens, and you know, I'm not really looking into Gay as a great value pick or anything like that. Now, as for Kawhi, he has been ruled out of some of the preseason. Now, the reports have come out, and you see it in some, Kawhi's going to miss all the preseason. That wasn't actually what was said. It was going to, we think he might miss most of the preseason. That was what Popovich said. So he hasn't been ruled out of all the preseason. This is not a good sign for Kawhi, but I'm not too worried. I think that he will play. If not the first game, he'll be ready to go in the first week of the regular season. I think you might see him even back for the last preseason game in a limited role. So it is a long-term thing. I'm not overly worried about it. If I had the eighth pick, I would consider taking a LeBron there, but I wouldn't be, oh, I can't take Kawhi, no chance. But it does introduce a level of uncertainty at that eighth pick with Kawhi. And if you went with LeBron, if you went with Jokic, I wouldn't have a problem with it because we just don't know. This injury came out of nowhere as well. We had no inkling of this from Kawhi at all. Then pops, oh, he's going to miss most of the preseason. Like, what? Where did this come from? I think he'll be fine. I don't think it's a long-term worry. I think at most he misses a week of the regular season. Utah, Derek Favors battled knee problems all last season. He played, he started. I'm feeling a lot better with him this season. Great, great late pick. A guy you can get around pick 100 who can return top 50 value. They're going back to him at power forward, which they completely went away from last season. The other power forwards on this roster, it's Joe Johnson, it's Jonas Jerebko. There's no real, you know, standout star there. I'm back on Favors. I think he's a really, really good last pick. Hal Neto is dealing with a quad injury. He will miss the next preseason game, as will Donovan Mitchell, who's dealing with a hamstring injury. Mitchell looked really good in that opening preseason game against the Sydney Kings. I think it's going to be tough for him to get enough minutes to be a standard league guy, but love him for Dynasty. Definitely love him more than the pick 13 where he was in the actual NBA draft. He's a top 10 Dynasty rookie in my opinion, but with Burks around now, I think he's ahead of Burks, but with Exum, with Rocket Rodney, and with ravishing Rick Rubio, it is going to be hard for Mitchell to get enough minutes to be an impact guy. He could be a point streamer, a steal streamer especially, and that steals is what, the ability to get steals is what makes me think this guy is going to be a really good NBA player no matter what. But I just don't think he's going to be a consistently good fantasy player for this season. That wraps up the Western Conference. I'll be back tomorrow with Greg. We're going to be doing our over-under, so be prepared to follow our bets and lose all your money. That's actually not true. I profited on my over-unders last season, and this year I'm actually going to keep track of it, keep track of all these over-unders, and maybe I'll go there and put, you know, hypothetical money on all the picks that we make. We'll look at Greg's, and we'll look at it back at the end of the season. So we will talk about that in tomorrow's show, preseason show next week with Kyle, and then we're like a week away from the NBA starting. Can't wait. There's so much excitement to see in the NBA this season. I don't really care that if people think it's a fait accompli that the Golden State Warriors are going to win. The regular season is fun. There's lots of things to see. There's lots of, you know, really, really interesting situations. Kyrie, Gordon Hayward, Chris Paul, Paul George, Jim Butler, you know, Giannis, the Sixers. There's interesting, like even the Knicks, as shit as the Knicks are, I want to see Frankie Ntilikina, who I'm leaning towards. I think he's going to start. I think by November he'll be starting, if not opening night. I think that he's showing enough for me to go, yeah, I think he will start. I don't think he'll be good, but I think he will start by November. Even shit teams like that, the Orlando Magic, Lord Alfred Payton, Aaron Gordon, John Isaac, who looked, oh man, he looks so good in preseason. He is going to be good, but he's not going to get enough minutes to be a fantasy relevant guy for most leagues. But there's excitement on most of these teams. The Sacramento Kings, the young guys, there's a lot of excitement with these players. Is there a team that's just shitful boring? Oh yeah, the Chicago Bulls.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
Even that's being a little bit harsh, because my boy Nikola Mirotic, he played 14 minutes yesterday, had like 14 points and filled up the box score. Now, Fred Hoiberg, without doubt, without fail, will screw it up. He will limit Mirotic's minutes. He'll give that spud Bob Portis minutes. He's going to put Dunn and Grant, rotate them. He's not going to give Denzel Valentine, who looked pretty good, hit three threes in that game. Hoiberg's going to screw it up. But even that, there is a level of something with the team. How does Markkanen going to do? Can Mirotic really thrive as that main guy? What about Levine when he comes back? Can Dunn show that he is not the worst point guard in the world? There are some things with some of these shitful teams. Indiana. You think of Indiana, you go, they're boring as shit, but they're not, because Miles Turner and Victor Oladipo, there's something to see there. Can Lance Stevenson do anything apart from being, and someone asked me yesterday, who's your starting five for all shit bloke in the NBA? Starting backcourt, Derrick Rose. Yeah, who was my other guy that I had in there? Yeah, Derrick Rose in the all shit bloke team. Lance Stevenson's in the all shit bloke team. I'd probably put Hassan Whiteside in the all-shit bloke team and Paul George in the all-shit bloke team as well. I need to round out the rest of the roster, but Lance is in that. But maybe he puts up some numbers, especially with Glenn Robinson III out for those few months. So there is a lot to see this season, even with the terrible teams. The Lakers, Kuzma, Lonzo, there's Brook Lopez. Does Brandon Ingram become a passable NBA player? There's lots to see, even with the bad teams. Phoenix, Bledsoe, Booker, Jackson, Warren, who looked fantastic yesterday. There's lots to see. I know I'm trying to, it feels like I'm selling the NBA here, but I shouldn't need to you guys. You know how good and how much fun we can have. Good luck with your drafts that are coming up. I know we're really into peak draft season here as well. Next week, I'm also going to do a intro to DFS, a DFS 101 podcast. I haven't mentioned this to him yet, so shout out to you, Greg. If you're listening, probably have Greg Ehrenberg on, our DFS analyst over at Basketball Monster, and we'll go through DFS pointers next week. So I'll be doing that at some point as well. Maybe I'll spring it on him tomorrow and get that locked in with him also. So that's the stuff we're going to be doing. Go and sign up at Basketball Monster, and you can support this podcast at patreon.com/redrock_bball. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and on Spotify. And if you leave a review, I love you. That's as simple as it gets. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Taurian Prince.